Hello everyone, welcome to another episode of First World Manila Podcast. I am Ramon Rodrigo Calao Cuenca, CFA, the founder and director of First World Manila. Marketing our culture to ourselves so that we are inspired to improve the country, the Philippines, that is. Okay, this is going to be a very brief episode because I have to fly to Cebu tomorrow. Lots of business stuff I'm involved in. I mean, outside of First Manila, this is really just something I'm doing. It's turned into something I'm doing now just to really help society here. This really brief episode is going to be about political forum I went to yesterday at Manila House. This was on January 15, 2019. It was sort of a meet the senatorial candidates event. So there were, given that there are Senate elections coming up, so sort of five senators or hopeful senators. I think some of them are current senators, but they're either campaigning for election or re-election, and they gave. They basically presented their views to the Manila House crowd, which is sort of largely business people with money. So there were five candidates: Bam Aquino, Harry Roque, Sabira Gutok, I think I'm pronouncing that right, Francis Tolentino, and Chel Diokno. So let's get into this. What's going to happen here is that I'm going to give you a brief rundown of what happened, a very condensed version, trying to be as apolitical as possible. So for First of Manila, as many of you know, this is really, as much as possible, I try to avoid politics just because I want to focus on things that unite us so we can get things done over the long term. And it's funny because that actually comes up, that sort of, you know, issue of continuity comes up later on in this forum I went to. So I don't want to, you know, put my own politics into this, and I want to stay as apolitical as possible and just talk about what they trying to basically give you a condensed form of what they were talking about. So maybe it'll help you decide who to vote for, at least among these five, for the upcoming Senate elections. I will also give some commentary too, as it pertains to the mission of First of Manila, which is to really solve the deep-rooted problems in our society, get people inspired to do so, and by doing so, getting people inspired to be Filipino and really work for the long-term good of this country. Okay, so let's get started. The candidates first gave a brief introduction of themselves, so, and then followed up with a more detailed description of their viewpoints and what sort of their platforms are and what the big issues are for them. They're basically marketing themselves and saying, like, here's what you should remember me. These are the policies that I care about. Sometimes it's a bit disingenuous, but to give them credit, I mean, they are politicians, and unfortunately you need sort of name recall. You know, I was just thinking about that earlier today, actually, just to sidetrack before we begin, just looking at some business permits in the South, for example, in sort of the Parañaque, Alabang, Muntinlupa area, like all these business permits with politicians' faces on them, and I'm not a particularly big fan of them because I think that can be done without them putting their faces on there. I think it becomes overtly political, and I don't see it in other democracies, but I understand why they're doing so, because especially in light of attending this Senate event yesterday, or this candidate event yesterday, because you really have to market yourself. So I can kind of see it from their point of view too, and I like to think of a middle ground for that, and, you know, I'm open to any ideas. Anyways, so the candidates gave basically marketing themselves, what they've done, what their policies are, or what they'd like to do, and then there was a Q&A session at the end. The whole thing lasted 2 hours. Hopefully this podcast doesn't last more than 20 minutes. It's gonna be a short one today. So I'm gonna get through it really quickly. All right, so the first candidate we have that presented himself was Bam Aquino. And if you're watching on YouTube, you'll see I have Google image searches of each senator or senator hopeful. So here's Bam. I think he might have tailored, and I think all of them did this to a certain extent, they sort of tailored their message to a business audience, unsurprisingly, which is fine for me because I'm a business person as well. And business is a big part of FirstSoul Manila, and making improving the business climate here in the Philippines is an important thing for I think the country. So Bam talked about his work with Go Negosyo. He also said, gave some words about education, the public and private side. Cavite State University is apparently free, according to him. I didn't know that. But more reforms needs to be done. So education, yeah, I think that's something we can all agree on. Interesting that he said that he's hopeful that more independent candidates in the Senate help out. So that's good. That's one thing I did notice about Bam. He was trying to be a uniter, even though he's Liberal Party. Like he did kind of say some words like he seemed very diplomatic. Maybe there are some things he was saying. There are a few things that everyone agrees on, and there may be more high-level things that are different. Maybe he's preparing to run for president at some point. I don't know, but that was a sense I got from Bam. Okay, next candidate to introduce himself was Chel Jokno. Here we go. You see him here in the background here, Jose Manuel Jokno. Otherwise known as Chell. His big thing was justice, which is I totally agree on. If you've listened to my podcast, definitely reforming the judiciary is an important part of our progress as a nation. He did mention also attracting foreign investors, and obviously you need a better court system for them. I agree with that. And then he did mention that more than 20% of courts are vacant, and according to Senor Jokno, there it's a highly political process of appointing judges. No centralized database to make sure people are in jail, so sort of logistical things basically. A huge disconnect between police and prosecution. Yeah, I've heard about things like that before. I mean, that is a problem. So there's crafting the laws or following the laws and then actually executing it and carrying it out on the ground. Theory and practice is a very difficult thing in this country in general. And that's why the dismal rate is the dismal rate the excuse me, that's why the conviction rate is dismal, according to him. So he wants a just and humane country. He said, "I have a dream." So maybe echoes of Martin Luther King there. Thirdly, we have Samira Gutok. I don't know how to pronounce it. I'm sorry. Survivor from Marawi. Her thing was about peace education. This was interesting. So against the hazing, she's sort of, I mean, that's sort of a talking point recently after the whole Ateneo hazing scandal a few weeks ago. So good marketing in that sense. So obviously, and she wants more participation from people on the fringes of society. Okay. Of course, I mean, it makes sense. Yeah, so that was her thing. Next, we have Harry Roque, People's Reform Party. Oh, I'm sorry, before I think I didn't mention this, but the previous three candidates are Liberal Party. So this fourth one here, Harry Roque, is a People's Reform Party. Here we go. I mean, this guy, I mean, I've read about him in the news. I've never actually seen him, not even on TV, but I will say that one thing that struck me about this guy was that he at least seemed very passionate about this country and all the problems. So, and we'll get to that a bit later. So, Senor Roque is a former law professor. He was a litigator. He said that DAP was unconstitutional. I'm blanking on which controversy this was for. If you can remind me, please comment on the in the comment section below. The state of emergency that GMA that Gloria Macapagal-Arroyo declared back in her administration, he declared was unconstitutional. He also talked about universal healthcare law. PhilHealth is now open to all Filipinos. And I think it's interesting because I actually do think, I mean, I'm definitely a business person, but I think everyone should have access to quality healthcare in a way that doesn't kill taxpayers. So yeah, you talk about universal healthcare. He passed a bill because he had been in the Senate for 16 months. So he's one of those looking for re-election. He passed a bill for free irrigation to all farmers. Okay. Primary author of the HIV and AIDS policy signed by the current president. And yeah. He did make it a point to say that he filed 283 bills in 16 months he was in Congress, and he made a point to say none of them were like trivial things like renaming a street. It was all of national, according to Senor Roque, was a national significance. Next, we have Francis Tolentino. He's the last candidate who introduced himself. He is BDP Laban Party, former Metro Manila Film Festival chairman before. He wants a His dream is to have a JICA type of agency with quick rehabilitation. Here he was referring to the natural disasters that take place in this country now. It destroys communities. Interestingly, I mean, this is interesting. He wants a business continuity plan. Okay, I believe in that for the transfer to Clark. So. I believe several government agencies are being transferred to Clark, and it's going to be a mess. And he wants to make sure things are done smoothly. He also mentioned he was a former mayor of Tagaytay, so he pushed tourism. He said that the fact that before there were only three restaurants at Tagaytay, and now it's highly developed. He wants a similar Philippine Urban Development Commission. Similar to Singapore, Redevelopment Commission, including heritage, which for me, I've talked about in the past. I think that's important. All right. So, I see. I'm just going over the notes here that I took. So the first. So they go more into. I think the forum kind of opens up at this point. They talk a little bit more about themselves and what they stand for, these candidates. So Gudok talked about see Gudok over here. I'm just gonna whenever I guess I'll try and switch tabs whenever I talk about a particular candidate. Talk about budget oversight. Human rights. Human rights. Diokno. Anti-poor. Human rights. Declog the courts. Yeah, I believe in that one. I think that's one thing I personally think that's holding us back. There's an inefficient justice system. Aquino, free education, etc., etc. So again, like Aquino, always, for me, my opinion of the way I kind of sense him is that he strikes a very conciliatory and uniting tone. He talks about how free education, things like that, the Senate. Apparently rallies behind things like that. But he, according to him, he doesn't want laws that marginalize sectors of society. He did not want trains. So if you remember a few months ago, last year, I talked about juggling train saws, chain, excuse me, juggling chainsaws. it didn't pan out, as many of you know, at least the way it should have in the second half of last year. My own opinion, yeah, there's definitely execution risk with that, but there are also things going on in the world economy, like oil prices, for example, that the government has no control over. That's my opinion. Maybe if there was a better way to execute it, I would like to know. According to Senor Aquino, the business sector informed him that if Train 2 passes, jobs will leave the country. So it's the for him, the line in the sand where people disagree on isn't really the politics per se. For him, it's the policies. So for him, mas madaming patalo kaysa sa panalo for the past few years. Okay. Tolentino was very an outspoken supporter of Duterte, the foreign policy, Boracay, Manila Bay. And he did oppose. Apparently, there was something, and I'm not familiar with this. He opposed the use of former military land for agricultural land. I'm not familiar with that. I can't really comment too much on that because I'm not familiar with it. Okay, so the debate now shifts to human rights. So, Roque approve of the ongoing war on drugs. Lawyers should be, and he speaking as a former lawyer, the focus should be on providing evidence. So again, his point is that it's not per the current thing, it's not perfect, but it works. The current war is not perfect, but it works. Crooked police, police with crooked use of force will go to jail. That's his point, and it's all evidence-based, according to him. Tolentino said that I'm not sure how true this is, but he claims, Senor Tolentino claims that the ICC, the International Criminal Court, if I'm not mistaken, that's the one Duterte wants to get out of. Or has he gotten out of it? I can't even remember. I mean, it changes every day. According to him, the ICC, 70% of armed forces in the world are no longer members of the ICC. So I'm not sure what that means. There are a lot of things here we can delve into deeper, and there's some things I do want to talk about branching off this podcast in the future, but let's just keep it very shallow for now. Okay. Diokno was against the war on drugs. I mean, all agree according to him that drugs should be have to be addressed by the government. Okay, that's a no-brainer, of course. But what is a long-lasting solution according to him? We need a justice system, again, a justice system that works. According to him, the war on drugs, the list of people is not evidence-based. I mean, there are people who he claims and others have claimed that were not involved in drugs that have been killed. And he likened to the fact that this sort of meeting out of justice was the last time it was used was under the Japanese occupation during World War II. Okay, so again, back to Senor Aquino, majority of Filipinos will say fighting drugs is good, but according to him, the majority will say din na hindi tama yung patayan. Verdad? Totoo? De verdad? I guess. He also brought up his experience as a community organizer, so echoes of Obama here. It's fine. You gotta market yourself. Certainly, a lot of Filipinos like sound bites from the U.S. I wish we had our own sound bites, but you gotta do what you gotta do. Okay, so again, he talks about Gawad Kalinga. Well, he brings it up, and that 90% of Gawad Kalinga communities are drug-free. For those of you who aren't familiar, Gawad Kalinga is basically—I don't know how you describe it—but they're like communities that follow certain values. I mean, who started that? Was it gosh, I'm blanking, but you can look it up. I don't want to get too much into it today. But he's saying that there has to be an enforcement focus, but not the way it's being done under the current administration. Okay, Utok. Crime prevention should also rely on family values to prevent violence. And again, this is her thing about peace education, really starting at the roots. And I think, you know, I mean, and if you've listened to my previous podcast, there is something to be said about deep-rooted things that we have to change. I mean, family values is certainly one thing. So rehabilitate people rather than kill. For her, that's her point. Okay, Roque. He pointed to these mega rehab facilities. He's not aware of any drug rehab facility that has been done by any previous administration aside from the current one. So he basically defending the Duterte administration in terms of providing rehabilitation, the prioritizing rehabilitation, and added the fact that we are the second fastest growing economy in the world. Okay. Okay, Jokno, going back into law stuff, how are the lists for these drugs, this drug hit list, how have they been made? At one point, he mentioned there was a dead judge on the list, so again, execution of these things. Okay, the conversation now shifts to China. And this is where people got really, really... in my opinion, some of them got kind of worked up. Tolentino, who basically is supportive of the current administration, says that we do have an independent foreign policy. That's not, basically when they say when the candidates were talking about independent foreign policy, they were talking about independence from the U.S. Basically, so we have our own foreign policy. Talk about the return of the Balangiga Bells, the Middle East country sitting back OFWs with dignity. But he says the nine dash line, talking about the dispute with China. We can't contest it. But basically, if you think of, basically, we can't contest China, basically. That's basically the short. I don't want to get into the South China Sea. I mean, it's not something I have a full. I'm not as deeply read into the foreign policy as much as I'd like to be to really comment on this. I'm more about social political change. Obviously, this is important too, but it's not something I feel comfortable talking about because I'm not as well versed as I would like to be. Maybe in the future. Tolentino. There are no other, according to him, there are no other rights besides declaring war. He's in favor of joint exploration and thinks other countries will be involved. So I mean, there the talk of war, like seriously, literally, I mean, it seriously came up in this debate. But my own view is, I mean, can we, the Philippines, really? I mean, I'm not trying to take a side here, on this, but logistically speaking, can we, the Philippines, alone, really defend ourselves against China? Obviously, if we were the U.S., I think that would help a lot. They have the military power, and currently the relations between China and the U.S. are at a low point, so that's something to think about. All right. According to Roque, basically, I mean, Roque and Tolentino had similar views about this. Like, he was saying that, and about China, it will never be solved in our lifetime. China will never agree to international law, might as well be their friends, without sacrificing our claim to the islands as per international tribunal agreement. So, balancing act. And again, I know people are very, very passionate about this issue, but there has to be a way, I think it's true that I mean, we're not, I mean, China's not going to agree. But I wonder about the way of going about this. What to do? I mean, we don't want to go. We have to be smart about these things and be cognizant of the realities of this world. But at the same time, we have to defend our sovereignty as a nation. It's hard. Okay, I'm here. I was taking notes so quickly, I can't remember most of it. All right, it doesn't make sense, but. Miss Senor Aquino was talking about he does not want there should be no secret deals with China. Everything has to be on the transparent. So things like, for example, workers coming in, Chinese workers coming here, coming in just all of a sudden and taking Filipino jobs. Everything has to be transparent and on the table. I agree with that. Roque did point out, though, that diplomacy with China, that when we tried to use force with the Scarborough Shoal, it didn't work, but now our fishermen can fish there. So that's his point of view. Okay. Audience question. So there is an audience question section. There was talk about a charter change. And see, I'm just going over these really quickly. According to Aquino, Chacha will not happen. It's not going to happen. Next Congress is a battlefield. And this is the clear line in the sand, is charter change. His main issue, so I'm assuming that he wasn't against charter change in its current form. Is that this is I found this very interesting because he does talk about the economy. So his issue isn't the economics, because there is an economic case for charter change. I'm not sure what he's referring to specifically, but if it's a charter change that involves a more liberalized economy, I'm personally all for that. You've heard me speak in my previous episodes before. But 80% of it is of the draft was political in nature. So that was his issue. And I think I think that's important. I think too, and this, by the way, and this is, I'm going to make a comment here, is that it's I think for a lot of people, and maybe I can fall prey to it too, is that because we're so busy leading our lives, it's hard to read about charter change and read all the drafts without really knowing which one's economic, which Senor Aquino implied was sort of agreed on by everybody, and which ones are political, which is very difficult. So, and again, this is why I want to unentangle the two, the economic side and the political side. If we can leave the politics to one side and just keep the economic reform going and continuing, I think overall it's better for the country. I think obviously we'll have a more inclusive economy that's fair to people and also easier to do business in. Okay. I'm just running through a few notes here. I don't want to, again, I don't want to go too much into things I don't know too much about. I don't have a point of view, especially because I might misquote them, which I would not want. But I think you're getting a sense of who supports what with this podcast. So Roque did make a case for federalism. It's the his argument was basically the elite, the political elite. They want all the power. He gave the example of how Palawan creates a lot of the power for Luzon, but they have 8-hour brownouts. Is that fair? On the other hand, this is interesting because right after that, Senor Diokno talked about how federalism may ins will institutionalize political dynasties. So here's my comment about federalism. I don't want I think it's true that we definitely have to declog Metro Manila, and we definitely have to help develop other parts of the Philippines. I think everyone's in agreement with that. But for me, I mean, if we don't solve the more root problems first, someone's gonna find some way to be corrupt and just, get all the money and power. I mean, in this example, these contrasting points between Roque and Jokno, one is saying that the current situation favors the elites in Manila, while the other one, the proposed solution, favors the local elites. So again, it's whoever they are, like, they're just gonna benefit from it. It's sad. It's sad, really. Why am I laughing? I mean, diba? So, Roque started this point. I have my notes here all in caps. He's sort of raising his voice, getting very passionate. The system needs to change because from his 16 months in Congress, the pork barrel is there. We need, according to him, we need to inst in excuse me. There has to be institutional strengthening of local economies to use funds. So why should the elites have the pork barrel when I guess the local economy should? I don't know. Senor Aquino, the problem is largely about pork barrel, according to him. For example, the D Department of Education underspent recently, yet we raised taxes. That's a good point. Where is our tax money going? See, again, here we go. Here's a conciliatory tone again. He agrees with Roque regarding local autonomy. We all want local autonomy and get the services close to the people, but it can be done with changes to the existing law and not charter change, in his opinion. Tolentino. This is interesting because Tolentino struck me as pro federalism. And he did talk about the need for a separate entity for Metro Manila. So this is interesting. The only way to solve the urbanization problem for Metro Manila, and which will also apparently in 8 years become a problem for Cebu, is to have a separate government to solve the metro area, not one central government, and what not one one not regional local governments either. So another reason for federalism in this case. See, it's interesting because I wonder. I'm personally not entirely sold on federalism, just because, again, I mean, I can see the argument from both points. So there's a third way we can combine things to make it more feasible, where we unclog Metro Manila. The political elites don't have all the power, but then again, we don't want, we don't want political dynasties either. Under federalism. But I am interested because, I mean, the name of this podcast is First World Manila. I am interested in a citywide government for Metro Manila. I mean, why are there so many mayors? All, it's ridiculous, I think. I mean, there has to be a good reason for it. So if you have a good reason why we should have several mayors in one Metro Manila, one city, let me know. I mean, I'm open to ideas and other people's thoughts. Okay. This is interesting. So this is, I sort of hinted at this earlier, but someone very smart in the audience, young lady, asked the question about sustainability. Like, this woman, and I totally sympathize with her. Is like, there's this happening and that happening, but as a voter, this is what she says. I don't see any continuity between governments. So I mean, I think it's on a lot of people's minds is that like. Every election it's a different thing, right? I mean, not always. There are some things that continue, but in large part, in my point of view, and this is a problem when you have, for me, this is a problem when you have a democracy before creating an actual nation, is that things get like economic projects long term and urban planning projects get stuck. This is really funny. So Roque's answer to that was that, oh, there is continuity, it's corruption. The only thing that's sustainable is systemic corruption. So I was laughing, the audience was laughing at that one. See, Gutok said the Senate should call out the fact that there's no sustainability. Tolentino said some comments that there are some things being done. I think there have been, but for me, not enough. I mean, there are some things being done in terms of that there it's these longer term things happen. There are some, but not enough. Okay. Jokno again needs sustainability and accountability. Again, going to the law thing, which is correct, in my opinion. Okay. This is interesting. So, Bam mentioned from the previous administrations, there are a few things that did continue, like field health reform, the K-12. There are small programs that did continue, so that's good. I mean, it's good. Now, how about the big programs? But anyways, and he said we have the secretaries and bureaucracies to thank for that, and this is very important to me personally because for me, I want to use this podcast is of course as if it wasn't obvious enough, it's addressing an educated class of the Philippines. I'd like us to all be on the same board for like at least a few key things so that it continues, this continuity continues. And I would like for civil servants to be involved and patriotic and really we can all share a vision for this country. And again, besides having continuing the small programs from the previous administrations, continue the large programs as well. But again, for him, for Senor Aquino, there is a lot of agreement on basic issues. So for me, I was heartened to hear this because maybe we can agree on these basic issues and move forward with them. It doesn't have to be a trade-off, a complete trade-off. It's okay. This last part was interesting because I don't know how many of you are familiar with May Paner or Juana Change, the actress slash activist, but she was there and she was the last person with the questions. And she was basically asking when she, because she attended the last Metro Manila Film Festival and she was seeing that, she was asking Tolentino, who was a former chair, where she saw his political ads all over, but no one else's. So where did the money for that come from? Because according to her, the film festival was awful. So I mean, you can see what she's implying here, but she really pushed him on this one. So basically, I mean, she was this woman is not only is she sharp, she's got balls. She's fearless. I have to say. Wanna Change is talking about that it's the film festival is so sad. I think Tolentino either denied he had political ads or like him and his friends were paying for them, but I don't think Wanna Change was really convinced with his answers. She also said Roque does not really feel for the fishermen. I think she was referring to in China, the China issue. Roque said he only had 16 months and he's never changed his position regarding the fishermen. And I'm not sure exactly what he was referring to there. Luckily for Bam, he got the softball question. He even said that he was lucky. I think, I don't even know, it was so softball, I didn't even write it down. Let's see. So again, and this is a point, he highlighted a point which I really agree with, which is still like, despite our growth, poverty incidence continues to be high at 20%. So he wants to provide education with my small businesses as well. And he wishes that was the main focus of government. So small businesses, yeah, it's true, we do need small businesses. We need a combination of everything. The question is, what's the easiest one to tackle, in my opinion, and to move forward from there? Start with the easiest things to tackle. So Diokno did talk about he wants a level playing field for SMEs. There's a problem with corruption, like the registration requirements and such, just to open a small business here. Again, going back to the justice system, he's very consistent with this, as you can tell. There has to be removing of cases from the courts and bringing it to arbitration. And he did mention several times that the construction industry is a good example of that. So I'm assuming that it's now relatively easier to arbitrate or get courses, or excuse me, get cases concluded quickly and relatively quickly in the construction industry. That's what he says. So, yeah. Dolentino talked about a 3-year tax-free break. I'm not sure what that was about. It's interesting. So Roque talked about the justice system we have. It's not a jury system. And I want to talk about this. Currently, it's a prosecutor. It's like a I read up a little bit on this afterwards, in that we don't have a, we really don't have a jury system, and it's basically one judge decides, and he thinks it's not efficient because my understanding is that for him the argument was potential corruption, so that's one way to fix that. I mean, that's going to be hard because, as an aside, I did read up a little bit about that because I wanted to know more about the issue. One argument for the current system is that we're not ready for a jury-based system because people here are, emotional, they're not very educated, they're not really meant to be citizens, they're not really educated to be citizens here. And I do agree on that to a certain extent, as you've known from my previous podcasts, that we don't really have a nation. So, but again, it's the execution, right? It's not the there's theory and execution. That's what it always boils down to. That seems to be the theme for today's podcast: theory versus execution. Okay, I think I've been talking for 22 minutes. That's a bit longer than I thought, but anyways, we are done for today. Before I forget, today's Spanish Tagalog vocab is the word to vote, which is votar. Votar. So, and I think, and this for me, I do believe this is where the word boto comes from in our in Tagalog. Conjugacion. Hold on. Well, not volver. Sorry, vote. In Votar. Yeah. So, I will, here is a conjugation table for the basic present tense in Spanish for votar. Votar is to vote. Yo, so ako, yo voto. So it's like magboto ako, right? That's where it comes from. Tu votas. El or ella or usted, that's formal for you, or for him or her. Vota. So el vota, ella vota. Nosotros votamos. So that's tayo or kami. Vosotros, kayo. Vosotros votáis. Ellos, ellas, ustedes. But again, if you ustedes is like formal for they. Votan. So ellos votan. So there we go. Votar, to vote, like voto in Tagalog. And that's it. I will see you all next week. Have a good evening, or to have a good day. Mag-ingat kayo. Hasta luego.